week on X-Ray, we're going to look at a very special match that happened in 1982 in Houston, Texas, between AWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Bockwinkel and a young up-and-coming rookie by the name of Ricky Morton. Now, Ricky Morton has been one of the greatest babyfaces from the beginning of his career all the way through the Rock and Roll Express era and days of the Midnight Express versus Rock and Roll Express. But in 1982, Ricky Morton was still just a young pup coming up around the Southwest wrestling area, and Nick Bockwinkel was declared the world heavyweight champion in that region for the American Wrestling Alliance. And during the time of 1982, there were three major world champions. You had your World Wrestling Federation champion, you had your NWA, National Wrestling Alliance champion, and then up in Minneapolis, you had your American Wrestling Association champion. And Nick Bockwinkel was the champion at that time. Some Texas promoters decided to recognize him and his championship back in the days when they took that a lot more seriously than they do today. And Ricky Morton was declared the number one challenger. So for this match, you're going to see pacing, timing, storytelling. And in those days, the champion's job was to come into a territory, come into an area, and make that challenger look like a world beater, look like he should have left without his championship. So the idea behind the world champion back then was to make the challenger look great. And I think Nick Bockwinkel was on top of his game. And Ricky Morton looks like he could be the next world champion. So we're going to go ahead and start once again. July 2nd, 1982, Nick Bockwinkel, along with his manager, Bobby the Brain Heenan, coming to Houston to face Ricky Morton, a young upstart, a young rookie, and had tons of fire and believability back then. So, Ricky Morton, looking in the middle of the ring, listening to the referee's instructions. Once again, it's important to have a great referee to make a great match, too. A great referee is one who you don't even know is there. He's there when he needs to be, and you don't even recognize it or realize it. But also, the important thing is to look like you're ready to do combat. You should protect yourself at all times and believe you're in the ring to win. Bockwinkel is being portrayed as the wily veteran. Ricky Morton, the quick, faster, young upstart who isn't afraid to mix it up. And Ricky had that confidence. He had that courage to step in there and do everything right. So the object again, in the beginning of the match, Ricky didn't want to lock up twice. Nick got him against the ropes once. The second time right there, Ricky's avoiding it. And it takes time to get to this point. But with the help of Nick Bockwinkel, Ricky Morton's going to walk out of this match even more credible than when he walked in. Everything you do means something in the ring. From the top wrist lock that Nick has right now, Ricky's hand, his right hand is on his left hand, trying to stop the pressure. And a simple takeover. This is the storytelling. The champion is going to try and gain an advantage, and the babyface will continue to counter every move up until it's time not to. As Ricky just did a reverse hammerlock. Now watch this move as Nick puts Ricky to the back ropes. Ricky takes that right hand and covers his head. It makes sense. The cover on the ropes, very, very important. Something we stress to everyone when you're in the ring, cover at all times. Simple moves, basic moves here. Full Nelson and Ricky Morton. Listening to not only Nick Bockwinkel, but he's listening to the crowd. He's listening to the fans. And they are watching very intently because Ricky, again, just countered that full Nelson, slipping out of it, kicked Bockwinkel off. Watch the little nuances Ricky does. He'll register his neck. This is going to play into it as we go along in the match. But Nick, was classic in being able to make any challenger he went in the ring with made him look great. And Ricky's no exception. Watch this move right here. This is interesting for 1982. Again, just a step over on Nick's thigh, simple snap mirror, coming up telling that story. Everything the champion or the veteran did, this young babyface had the fire and the ability to switch and counter it. So, once again, everything, counter, go behind, and the babyface was just too fast. And the challenger is now a little bit, is frustrated. Bachwinkle. He needs to have a consultation with his manager. These were the stories being told. And nobody else, I think, was better at this time than Bobby Heenan. Doing what he did, not only just being a manager at ringside, but with promos and being entertaining, adding to the champion. Once again, the pacing, the timing. Nick knows what he wants to do. Ankle pick. Again, two ankle picks. And everything he tries is being countered. He went for three ankle picks, got kicked off, and he went for a dive, and Ricky got out of the way. Nick is setting the stage. He's setting the table for what comes next. It takes years to get to this point where you feel the timing and you have the instincts to know when to go forward. And that's one reason we teach the basics and fundamentals here at JPWA, where you do it over and over and over, where it becomes second nature and instinct. So a simple duck from the punch, one shot, one slap by the babyface. It wasn't five punches, it wasn't five slaps. Less is more. They're taking their time. It's a different pace in today's matches, obviously, but this is what got over. This is the basics. This is laying the foundation. Watch Bachwinkle. Now, take it back to the ropes. A simple forearm across the chest. A simple shot to the stomach and a knee. Ricky's not going to go outside so easy, but all it took was one knee and a couple stomps, and Ricky's getting his breath on the outside. The referee counting and not getting in anybody's way, allowing Ricky to come back, a headlock takeover, and now the champion is working on his opponent with a hold. Watch Ricky's right hand. It comes right by Nick's face. It's a natural reaction. It looks as though he's in a wrestling match. He's trying to relieve the pressure. Ricky Morton, I think at this time, had been teaming with a guy named Ken Lucas around San Antonio, Houston area, and he came out on his own as a babyface. He just shined in the tag team, and that's what happens with a lot of tag teams. You have one guy who shines and another guy who is part of the tag team. But the story here, Ricky's trying to get out of this headlock, shot Nick off. He took two tackles. Sold each one. Bachwinkle came back with the headlock. So the pace is even. They're telling a story. And pretty simple. Pretty simple story. The object here is to wear his challenger down, try and pin him out of the headlock. And it's up to Ricky to kick out. It's another thing. When you find yourself in a match, a lot of guys don't know where to go, don't know what to do. When they get lost and you think you're going too slow, chances are you're going just right. And Bachwinkle will take his time here, but they're not going to lay on the mat for 2 minutes. They'll take about a 20-second break right here, but there's no such thing as rest holds. And they know they have to come up, and Ricky knows he has to fight back. Look at the forearms to the back. Watch this again. Another tackle. And a counter with a hip toss. Take a slam. Babyface kicks off and returns the favor. So everything they do means something. The slam Nick took. He's going to sell it and get the most out of it to register and put this guy over, put his opponent over. And Ricky does his part by letting the champion do that. But he's not just standing there. He's pacing. He's looking like he's ready. Body language is important. Bockwinkel and Ricky, I think they also had a match in Corpus Christi, Texas, prior to this. And they went 60 minutes. Long match. And Ricky proved that he was a capable challenger. That's why they brought it to Houston. But if you watch, Nick covering up in the corner, it makes sense. You don't want to lift your hands. You don't want to raise your hands like this. You want to cover up in the corner. Basic instinct. Now, the heel is going to take babyface back. And again, take advantage. Watch Ricky's feet come off the mat. Watch Ricky. He keeps selling up. His face is up where people can see the emotion. That's what sells. It's the facials, the body language. It's not how much you do. It's how you do what you do. And Nick Bockwinkel is driving those shoulders in and making everything count. Now it looks like he's got the advantage, and he's happy about it. Everything he does is measured. That one kick to the stomach. Ricky with a shot to the stomach. Another shot to the stomach. One more. So there's three fists to the stomach, finishes up with a knee lift. And now Ricky needs to fire up a little bit. It's all listening to the crowd. It's all working off your opponent. Nick is taking his time. Ricky's taking his time. And the confidence in both guys, that both guys have in each other, is imperative in this match. Crossbody, simple move. Nick got out of the way. Crash and burn. Now watch this. This is a 2 out of 3 fall match. Nick just delivered a pile driver for the first fall. Again, in 1982, this could be considered a finish for one fall. Later on, it would be considered a finish, I don't know, never. But Nick Bockwinkel told the story the first fall. He put the babyface over, got a little bit of steam on him. The babyface made a comeback. Now we have two more falls. Unless Nick wins the second fall, two in a row. But the referee is keeping the champ back. Ricky's selling his neck. Again, you don't just take the move and not register it. You don't take something and forget all about it. Everything you do means something. You need to think, shoot, but work. Nick is trying to cut off the ring. It's looking like he's trying to cut off the ring. Still giving Ricky time to move. Still giving him a way to get around the ring. You don't want to just stand there. Everything you do means something. And it means something by Nick going after the neck. Ricky sitting out. Ricky coming out of it. Going for a front face lock. Ricky's getting out of the way. Not allowing the champion to get the neck. Throwing punches. Trying to keep away from your opponent. So you've got to think about it. If you're in trouble, you don't want to go full force in the line of battle and get hurt. You have at least another fall to make a chance. And Ricky is escaping everything Nick's doing. Hard to believe this was a standard for championship matches back then, but it was a lot more authentic. It was a lot more electricity in the crowd. The people were educated to a different style of wrestling. And Ricky Morton had that undeniable fire. And Nick Bockwinkel could be vicious. Nick Bockwinkel could be that rugged-looking wrestler. He was a wrestling champion. And that's what told the story. That's what made him the champion. When he walked in, he would have to go against people that maybe had a different style than he did. And he prided himself in being able to adjust. And cut promos and making sure everybody knew there was a possibility that his challenger could walk out with the title. Now, Ricky Morton's holding on to the armbar, the hammerlock, excuse me, and Bockwinkel's doing everything he can to get out. It's obviously a two-shoot camera gimmick back then, too. And one forearm to the back, another forearm to the back of the neck, one more to the back of the neck. And Bockwinkel's going to keep hammering Ricky Morton because he just took a pile driver and beat him in the first fall. He's working on the body part that he just went after. It makes sense, and you're telling a story. Ricky can still fight back, but he's hurt. Is he hurt enough to lose two falls in a row? Don't know, but he's fighting back. This is the fire that gets people behind your babyface. And Ricky makes it count. Everything he does makes it count. He still goes back and sells his neck. Again, for this time period, 1982, people could believe it. And especially with the way these guys were delivering everything they came with. Bockwinkel from the second rope, not the top, got caught there. Here's a simple move. Sunset flip. How did that happen? It's 1982. It's Ricky Morton, one of the top baby faces in the world back then. To this day, I'll say it too. But Ricky Morton wins the second fall with a sunset flip. If it's done authentically, if it's done with some realism, if it's done with believability, it can get over. It's not how many moves you do, it's how you do the moves you do. And Ricky Morton, in this instance, what people believed, he was fighting for his life, he was fighting for the championship. And that was the story. When the world champion came to town, it meant something, no matter where he was. And Texas was always an NWA territory, for the most part. But the AWA was getting going other places, and Bockwinkel was the representative. He always dressed the part. He looked the part. He was different than Ric Flair in the sense that he was not as flamboyant, but he was more cerebral. Yeah, you get it. The cerebral assassin. Assassin. Easier for me to say. But Nick was like that back then. And now he knows. Nick knows. The champion knows. It's the third fall. And Ricky's trying to take advantage. He's got the momentum going because he won the second. And now he knows that he needs to take advantage. He needs to take advantage of everything he's got here. And going after Bockwinkel is his only remedy for this. Bockwinkel knows he's going to sell to get this guy over. That was the champion's job. Nick always did a great job. And here's the cover. Got a two count. And both of these guys are taking their time, deliberate in everything they do. So, going to the second rope. It looks like Bockwinkel might be finished here. And the fans know it. The fans are behind Ricky. This is pre-Rock and Roll Express days, too, by the way. And, in fact, this isn't a very good figure four, I will say that. But the only ones who know that are Ricky and Nick and the referee. But the point is, Nick's selling like he's got that figure four on. And all Ricky really has to do is take his left knee and put it over that foot. But here's the drama. Here's the idea. The drama is Nick's trying to get to the ropes, and this is a third fall. The referee kicks the champion's hand off to give that illusion that he's not going to let him get out that easy. If you're going to fight out, this is for the world championship, fight out, be a man, is basically what the referee's saying. So Nick goes over and hugs the ropes, which forces a break, but during those two times when Nick tried to grab the ropes and the referee kicked his hand away, the people got the impression that possibly if he was in the middle of the ring like Ricky's trying to pull him out to now, there's a chance that we could see a change in the title. And just a rookie mistake by Ricky Morton. But the champion goes for all the marbles. I mean, if you don't have a way to get out of it, rake the guy's eyes. Why not? Double punch, double knockout. The referee, again, giving a double count, and the people are into it. The people know there's got to be something coming, and Bockwinkel's legs are failing him right now, and the people know that if Ricky can just get that figure four in the middle of the ring, he could win. The drama and the setup in an empty or in a full arena with just the ring lights over the ring, centering the action. No other house lights on, no distractions. Put everybody in the mood for this match. Now, belly to back suplex, both guys down again. And nobody's really sure who has the advantage. Both guys are taking their time, feeling it, and listening to the crowd. So we're doing the 1-2 on the knees here. You hit me, I'll hit you. Come back. And now it's time for Ricky Morton to get that one last fiery babyface comeback, because the champion is on the ropes, literally. Again, that undeniable fire. This is time to turn it on. And Ricky knows it. Nice veal out of the corner. Would it be one mistake? No! Nice victory roll from Ricky Morton. If he just had that opportunity one more time, I think this could be Ricky's time. But no, it's that rookie mistake that cost Ricky Morton the AWA Championship. The drama, the storytelling, the pacing, and the story was you had your experienced champion from the AWA. You had your young challenger who had been in Texas for a few months and got all the fans behind him. If he wouldn't have made that one rookie mistake at the end, there's a possibility Ricky Morton would have been the AWA champion. Timing, pacing. Setting the story. They did it throughout the match. Next week, we've got another one for you right here on X-Ray.